Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for March the 3rd. To start today, let me wish my brother happy birthday. Michael was born on the 3rd of March. Happy birthday, Michael, way out there in California. Hope you have an awesome day, buddy. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, that there is the children of Israel, from verse 13. Remember, verse 13 said Moses put a veil over his face so the children of Israel couldn't steadily look at what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. So in Paul's day, already in Paul's day, now this is 2,000 years ago, the post-cross, in Paul's day, he says there's a veil that is that remains on the children of Israel when they read the Old Testament. The veil was taken away in Christ. Why was the veil still on their eyes when they read the Old Testament? Because Christ took the veil away. So how was it still in their eyes? Because they had not accepted who Christ is and who Christ was. And that happens to this day. They were the children of Israel. The children of Israel still, in Paul's day, couldn't see what the Old Testament was all about because they had not seen it through Christ. I think children of the kingdom are still doing this. I think children of the kingdom are still not seeing things through the lens of Christ, and a veil remains on people's hearts because when they read the Old Testament, they're not seeing who Jesus is. And they're seeing lists of rules and regulations and performances. I'm thinking about a way to say this because I'm stirring thoughts over in my head about, well, let me just work them out with you, okay? Sometimes the best way to do it is just show you the process. I think you could say that if you are taking your cues for morality or how to live or how to react or what to do from the instructions of the Old Testament, it's likely that you are reading with a veil over your heart. I don't mean that the instructions of the Old Testament weren't useful. They were useful in their day, but they didn't bring anyone life. And Christ come, he said, that you might have life. He didn't come that you might have rules. He didn't come that you might have instruction. He didn't come so you could clean up your principles. He come that you could have life and that you could have it more abundant. You already had rules, regulations, principles, instructions, but you didn't have life. Why didn't you have life? Because rules, regulations, principles, and instructions can't bring life. They can only bring death. What Israel had was the ministry of death. What Jesus come to do was to bring the ministry of life. Notice that when Jesus says that in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life, you might have more abundant, he says that on the heels of telling them, everyone who came before me was a thief and a robber. A thief is the man who tries to get you to enter through the door any other way but through me. So you've been being robbed. When you lean to the Torah, you're being robbed. So that's why I had that big pause a moment ago. I was trying to think about, is this legit to say? I think it's legit to say. I think it's legit to say that if you're taking your cues for morality from the old covenant, odds are you're reading Moses with a veil over your heart. What's the negative aspect of having a veil over your heart? Well, when you have the veil over your heart, you don't transform into the same image of the glory of the Lord. Because if there's a veil, you can't see clearly. And so true transformation is not possible as long as you're staring at Moses instead of staring at Jesus. So when you use those Old Testament moral codes listen, even in the Old Testament, where did we get this idea? I've heard this said in grace, and I think when I came into really preaching and teaching grace, I said this too, but I just said it because I heard it said. It took a revelation, really just searching this out for myself to realize I don't agree with this. Where did we come up with this idea that under the old covenant, righteousness could be achieved by living, by doing everything right? What gave us that idea? Righteousness could never be achieved by doing everything right. And that led us to this doctrine. Christ fulfilled the law by not sinning. No, the purpose of the law was not to get Israel to not sin. The purpose of the law was to get Israel to not kill their brother, to take care of their neighbor, to respect the promised land, to respect the property, to take care of the priesthood. Everything involved their neighbor. What was the two chief commands of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. The law was meant to get you to do that. Heck, the first five of the Ten Commandments are loving God, and the last five are loving your neighbor. That's the whole thing. So God, where did we get this message in grace? The message of grace preaches this every, I hear this all the time. Oh, under the law, you were had to do all these things to be righteous. No, God never wanted you to keep the law to be righteous. Righteousness was always an act of faith. The problem is the law, we substitute it for righteousness. We still do that. We still, if you put any kind of instruction at all, we substitute it for righteousness. It's why it's difficult to teach people what they ought to do in the new covenant. It's very difficult because the minute you say you ought to do this, they start to assume that if they don't, they're out of favor. You go, whoa, wait a minute. You're not out of favor. You just make the world a worse place if you don't do this. Listen, you're in the favor of God because of Jesus. You're not in the favor of God because you live right. Because if you're in the favor of God because you live right, then you're out of the favor of God when you live wrong. Now, if you go out here and cheat on your spouse today, you don't block the favor of God, but you ruin your life. You ruin your marriage. You might ruin your standing, your finances, your future. And you're going to have to deal with that. It doesn't make you righteous if you don't cheat on them. It doesn't keep you from being righteous if you do. So you don't use that law for righteousness. Is it still a good idea to not cheat? Well, of course. Why? Because of the danger, not because of the judgment of God. So if the veil is over your heart, over your mind, you'll never transform. It was in Paul's day that remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. The veil has been taken away in Christ when, even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. We'll move into 16 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.